Hi, and welcome to Finding Your Way Through Therapy. The goal of this podcast is to demystify therapy, what can happen in therapy, and the wide array of conversations you can have in and about therapy. Through personal experiences, guests will talk about therapy, their experiences with it, and how psychology and therapy are present in many places in their lives. With lots of authenticity and a touch of humor, here is your host, Steve Bisson.
Thank you. Still getting used to this new intro. I always want to go back to what I used to do, but obviously it's a different situation. So welcome to episode 104. If you haven't listened to episode 103 yet, please go and listen to it. Lane Kennedy and Tamar Medford. We just had a great time. We talked about DNA. We talked about sobriety. We talked about behavioral change. And really what this leads up to is the episode for today, which is for this episode, I want to talk about change. So, you know, what does change mean? Well, it usually means that something has not been working for you. Maybe it has been working for you for a while, but it no longer serves you. But change is about doing something different in order to get to a goal that you want to get. And one of the first things I kind of remind people who want change in therapy is that the change will never, ever, ever come from me. And most people are surprised by that. And what I really remind a lot of individuals, and this is something that you've heard me talk about in the podcast, is that I offer you the tools, but the change has to come from you. I can give you the best tools in the world. You decide, no, I don't want to use those tools. There's not a whole lot I can do. So what I think the first thing that you got to understand if you go to therapy is the change won't come from the therapist. The therapist will not do the change for you. And I think that that's the first important thing to remember about therapy. And I know that talking with different people, we've talked about how change comes from the individuals and not from the therapist. So let's start with that. So who gives the tools? Well, the people who give the tools is just me, the therapist, right? And when we give the tools, you have to decide if it's a tool that works for you or not. And here's the other misconception. So I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. Mostly I do a lot of other types of therapy. But ultimately, I have a specialty in cognitive behavioral therapy. I've been doing cognitive behavioral therapy for several years. And that's definitely the tools I give. It's a thought process. And what I do with CBT is basically challenge the thought process that's in place in order to create a new one. It's not always wrong because there's no such thing as always. And that's one of the cognitive distortions that I talk about. But I really work on the tools of the thought process and how people get to a certain place. So we talk about the 10 cognitive distortions. I go back to one of my favorite books. I mentioned this on a podcast before. My favorite book is The New Mood Therapy by David Burns. I really use that regularly, frequently. I've lost about 7 of those books because I gave them to clients to read. And ultimately, David, if you're listening, I will tell you what I say to a whole lot of my clients. Probably the book that changed my life and made me a therapist at age 16. And decided to be a therapist at age 16, I should say. But what I also say is that if you read the first 100 pages or so, maybe it's 250, maybe it's 200, but you get the point. For the beginning of the book, you will get a lot of change ideas, but you will not change yourself unless you want to. And really, that's what had the biggest influence on me because it talks about all the things you can put in place. But David, you know, again, if he's listening, shout out to Dave, but it really is about his ideas that keep on saying, well, the person needs to be willing to use these tools. So I really like how David Burns presents that. And I always remind people that I've never changed a client in my life. Clients change themselves. I just gave them the tools. Besides CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, and I will defend that until they prove me wrong, there are other types of change that you can be done with different processes. One of the most famous ones is behavioral therapy. And behavioral therapy, including it's in the name of CBT, but behavioral therapy, you think about the two main ones. There's the Pavlov classical conditioning, you know, you can make, if you pair up two behaviors or two situations, stimulus, you can actually change the behavior of an individual by removing one of the stimuli. I think that that's one of the things, but the most important one, I go back to B.F. Skinner, and it's operant conditioning, one of my favorite books. To talk about behavioral change, it's called Don't Shoot the Dog, and it's by Karen Pryor. It's a pretty quick read if you want to go get that. I don't make any money off these promotions, but nonetheless, I'm always willing to give you the good names. But Skinner talks about positive or negative reinforcement, And then it talks about also reinforcement or punishment, right? So I said positive or negative, and then reinforcement or punishment. And it's by using those tools that you're able to get to a point where a person changes. So Karen Pryor's book's premise is actually much more about you can shoot the dog and the dog will stop barking, or you can use positive reinforcement in order to encourage the dog to stop barking. And this, you know, you're going to say, Steve, you just treated your clients like dogs. But ultimately, that behavior, I practiced that on myself, never mind working with my clients in regards to that. So the principles still stand. So if you are offended, just write me a note and I'll explain it to you again. But behavioral is another way of dealing with it. The other one is emotional, the changes in emotions. People default to certain emotions. That's just life. I'm going to talk a little bit about my emotional management coaching here, and that I consider it part of the change process too. But emotional management, the reason why it exists is because I default to anger because that's the safest one for me. Or I will default to happy because that protects me from having to explain certain things. But ultimately, what the point is here is that we always default to the emotions that are most comfortable for us. And most of us don't like to express our fears. Most of us don't want to express our surprise. And for some people, it's really hard to express their sadness. I've gotten a lot better in time, but there is a time where I wasn't willing to show anyone any type of sadness. So working on emotions, it's learning to identify them, learning to normalize them, and getting comfortable with them. And this really brings me to the other part of change that's really important to me, which is the neurological basis. So why are we scared of change? Well, it's because you created a super highway in your mind. So let's say your behavior is, we'll say substance abuse. Let's substance use, as my friend Sarah Cloud would say. We talked about substance use. You got to think about how it goes. So you've created a highway that I feel bad, therefore I got to use a substance, or this is uncomfortable, so I got to use a substance, whatever that feel bad moment is. But then you create this, any type of neural pathway starts like a gravel road. It's just gravel. It's not really well defined, might be muddy. But ultimately, if you keep on using that road regularly, but you start pounding it down, you put down some cement, you make it a 2-lane, then a 4-lane, and then it's an 8-lane superhighway. And that's what it is about the whole idea behind how to change those neurological pathways. So some of our baddest behaviors that we want to change is that they're a superhighway. If I want to not feel bad about myself because I don't know how to deal with my emotions or my behavior or my thoughts, is to drink alcohol to a point where I don't remember anything. That's my coping mechanism. That's a superhighway. Your job for change is to destroy that superhighway and create a side lane, right? So basically what I tell people is, what other behaviors can you do? What other thought process can you have, and how are you going to deal with those emotions? And it's the fear of change is that we need to destroy that superhighway and recreate at least a gravel road that goes from what I consider the midbrain, and I'm not going to bore you too much with neurological stuff, but change goes from a gravel road that's not really well-defined to a 8-lane superhighway, just like we've done with bad habits, that we've done with automatic negative thoughts, that we've done with certain behaviors. And it really is about changing that. So I gave you the scoop on how to, different types of change. Is there other types of therapy? Of course there is. You want me to go in through every detail? Please let me know. I'm more than happy to do another episode on change. But I wanted to talk about these because these are the most common ones, the ones we use the most. And let's talk about fear of change, right? There is a benefit of being stuck. And people are like, really? Why? Well, it's common. It's familiar. We know it, right? So I know that if I get really upset and I don't want to deal with my emotions, I use a substance. That's an easy way out. Sitting there with the emotion, learning how to deal with it, that's tough. And that's kind of scary. So remembering that there is a fear of change that happens. And also what will happen. So you do something good the first time and it feels good, great. But am I going to always feel good? And you don't know that. And that's kind of like very scary for a whole lot of people. So change is scary. And we've also normalized the abnormal. So basically, if I punch a wall every time I'm angry, and people are like, oh, well, that's not healthy. But for me, it is, because that's how I deal with it. So we normalize what we probably other people might see as abnormal. So learning to change is really tough. And I hope that we can continue having this conversation. I think there is some things to be said about other things, but I want to keep it always about 10 minutes or so when I do these solo episodes, not only for myself, but for you guys, because I feel like it's a lot more palpable in that way. But ultimately, change doesn't come from the therapist. Therapist offers the tools, CBT, behavioral, emotional, and other types of therapy. Then we talk about the fear of change, and then we go from there. And change takes a while. I have a sign in my office that someone once pointed out and continues to point out is that it takes at least 7 repetitions before change occurs. And that's an average. So remembering that if you don't change right away, it takes time. I just want to remind everyone of that. And we can continue this conversation some other time on change. So please let me know what you think. But for episode 105, it's going to be a review of the whole season 8. There was a lot in season 8. Can't wait to talk about that. So I hope you join me then.
Please like, subscribe, and follow this podcast on your favorite platform. A glowing review is always helpful. And as a reminder, this podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. If you're struggling with a mental health or substance abuse issue, please reach out to a professional counselor for consultation. If you are in a mental health crisis, call 988 for assistance. This number is available in the United States.